Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
No NFL, no problem. No fantasy football, no problem. We do have another live edition of The Takeover with your boy, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, coming to you a couple weeks after the Super Bowl. Couple days, or really not even a couple days, a couple hours before the start of the 2016 NFL Combine. Still a long way to go before we get to August and really get into the midst of fantasy football drafting, but some things going on in the NFL that we want to keep an eye on, news-wise, of course, not to mention the fact the NFL Combine this week. My man Mark Morales-Smith, you know him, Scout Fantasy subscribers, website users, you know Mark Morales-Smith. He does an excellent job with This Week in Fantasy Football, not to mention the fact he is also a scout. So he has a good eye, and we're going to talk to him about some of the players we'll be seeing in the Combine this upcoming weekend. We're going to look at his mock draft and kind of get a feel of what new assets we'll be having coming into the player pool in 2016 as we begin the journey to another fantasy football championship. Now, not just a whole bunch of fantasy football stuff going on right now in Scout Fantasy. Got a lot of DFS stuff going on. I want to tell you about some real cool stuff taking place right now in our premium forums. DFS NBA, my guy Scotty Atkins and Nate West for the crew over there doing a good job every single day, each and every slate, every single night, getting the job done. You can hop on there in the premium forums and check out the great tool that we have to help you put together your daily fantasy hoops lineups. I know Scott Atkins and the rest of the crew over there have been doing some big things on DraftKings, knocking down a couple of these big satellites. So make sure you hop over there and get the latest DFS hoops advice from the best team in the business. Of course, our guy Tommy G, Dr. Roto, handling things over on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, now beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're not a SiriusXM subscriber, you want to go ahead and do that. And if you are a scout, if you are a SiriusXM subscriber, looking for the Scout Fantasy Show, Dr. Roto and Tommy G on now, weekdays, 10 a.m. Eastern time in the morning. And that's a good spot for that crew as they get you ready for your day in daily fantasy sports and, you know, your season-long teams too, of course. Fantasy baseball owners, you're getting ready for your upcoming drafts and auctions. Of course, we have the best guy in the business, Sean Childs, Scout Fantasy, Fantasy Baseball Kit up and at there now. Go ahead and subscribe to that. Get ready to dominate your drafts and your auctions as you get ready for fantasy baseball glory in 2016. DFS golf players, Chris Garosi, doing an excellent job banging it out for our premium subscribers, getting it done each and every week. Picks, plays, projections, Vegas odds, whatever you need, you get them in the forum. In the premium section, Chris Garosi, each and every tournament throughout the PGA season, he'll be there to help you get your lineups together and cash out when you play your DFS golf over on DraftKings. Of course, there's going to be plenty of DFS baseball action coming up. Our guy Tommy G will get ready for that, rocking and rolling once we get to opening day. Hockey, Kickman, getting it done. Also, users coming on. Came on the show a couple of weeks ago, Kickman. They have a phenomenal lineup. A lot of people cashed out with that one. So get your NHL advice also. Also, I see Tommy G every now and then pops up in the Scout Fantasy forums and the premium ones and posts his little DFS NHL recommendations. You know, Tommy, like I say, once you know how to play fantasy sports, it doesn't matter. You just know how to play fantasy sports. You can go across the board in all sports. And, of course, our guy, Brian Polking, holding things down for the DFS NASCAR fans as you get your lineup set for DraftKings. All of this good premium content coming together for the daily fantasy sports side. And, of course, not to mention the fact, fantasy baseball owners, you have the advice to get you ready for your drafts and auctions by my man, Sean Childs, one of the best in the business. If you're a high-stakes fantasy baseball player, of course, you know who CC's Desperado is. That's my guy, Sean Childs. He's going to get you ready for the 2016 fantasy baseball season. So a lot of stuff going on right now over at Scout Fantasy. One last thing before we bring Mark Morales-Smith in and begin to get ready to talk some football with him. Dynasty leagues. We got orphan leagues right now. You can go into the scout forums, go into the contest section, and you can look at the orphan dynasty teams that are out there right now. I got a commit, Scotty Atkins, is dropping orphan dynasty teams, putting them in the premium form, putting them in the forums every day. You can go over there, take a look at some of the key members on the team, and look at some of the key members on the team, and not to mention the fact you can get into look at some of the key players on the team, and not to mention the fact you can look at the entire team roster and take a good look at a snapshot of those leagues and see if you want to take over one of those orphan dynasties. We got to get rid of the orphan people before we start opening up the brand new dynasty league. So keep that in mind. That's in the contest lobby right now. I just got a text from my guy Mark Morales Smith. He's running a little bit late, so I'm going to go ahead and get started looking at his piece this week in fantasy football that he put out there last week. Right now, you can go on the Scout homepage and find that. He starts off this great piece that he does every week with the quarterback position. And like quite interestingly, and I kind of want to speak to him and ask him his scouting background on this, but it looks like Brock Osweiler and the Denver Broncos have not yet gotten into contract negotiations. Listen, I do think Peyton Manning is going to end up retiring in a few weeks. Well, maybe not a few weeks. He has no timetable. But Manning will end up calling it a career, hanging him up, coming off that Super Bowl victory. And I don't think Osweiler is going to make situations any more difficult for guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I still think they're top fantasy wide receivers going into the next season. Of course, that team is going to be, you know, established off the ground game and running the football. But I do think Osweiler is going to be able to get some things done. Slow down on the turnovers, and I think Osweiler is a guy that can maybe not be a fantasy two even per se at some point in the season. But I do not look at the wide receivers taking a downturn. But it would be interesting to get Mark's opinion on those coming up also. Another thing going on right now, Mike Mularkey, Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Mularkey, says going into the 2016 season, he wants to see second-year quarterback Marcus Mariota run the football more. Comes from a system where running the football from the quarterback can be beneficial. Now, he also said that they're not going to run the ball as much as the Panthers use Cam Newton in the running game, but they do look to have a little bit more design runs for Marcus Mariota, since that is a skill that he does have. And you know what? He might be better than any running back on the Tennessee Titans. So look for Mariota and his team to utilize that weapon of his legs more. That can make him a valuable fantasy asset. Of course, you know what these running quarterbacks can do. They just stack upon stack upon stack when they start to get their things rolling with their legs. Need some improvement from the offensive line of Tennessee, though, to get this whole thing going. But Marcus Mariota is a player with an arrow pointing upward 2016 season, especially if they look to run the football and utilize his legs a little bit more this upcoming year. Speaking of a running quarterback, well, I don't want to say a running quarterback. Speaking of a quarterback that does have the skill of running the football, Minnesota Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater now getting ready for his third NFL season. Now, listen, coming into 2015, a lot of guys were high on Bridgewater. Me, myself, being one of them, I thought he could finish as a top 12 fantasy quarterback. North Turner offense, all the pieces in place on offense. Listen, it didn't turn out that way. Not quite the season we thought Bridgewater was going to have, even though he did take this team to the playoffs. But the GM of the Minnesota Vikings made an interesting point. Expect Teddy Bridgewater to have the reins taken off him more this season as the team moves indoors. It looks like the analytics say that Teddy Bridgewater is a better player, a better quarterback. He performs better playing indoors. Next year, the Vikings will be playing in their new indoor stadium. So that could be a way that they'll take North Turner, will unleash Teddy Bridgewater, let us see his full skill set, give us the full playbook. Because one of the things about the Minnesota Vikings, they just ran the football. So Bridgewater wasn't able to put up those numbers that we thought we would. Has a nice target in Stephon Diggs, that'll be coming into his second season. The two of them had a nice rapport. He almost, might as well say, Stephon Diggs became Minnesota's number one, and Mike Wallace, Diggs is the number one in Minnesota now. So he has a target, not to mention we'll see what happens with Adrian Peterson. But for the most part, things are also looking up for Teddy Bridgewater, especially if he's allowed to operate with more of North Turner's playbook. Right now, I want to bring in my man, Mark Morales-Smith. MMS, I'll held him down for you a little bit there. And I want to bring you in on where I started with the quarterback discussion. And I was talking about Brock Osweiler and the fact that we're going through your article right now, this week at Fantasy Football, and talking about Brock Osweiler and the fact that Brock was not part of the contract negotiators with him yet. Now, I agree that at some point in the offseason, Peyton Manning will go ahead and call it quits coming up at Super Bowl victory. But, Mark, let me ask you this. From a scouting perspective, is Brock Osweiler going to be able to come in there and still you still see the fantasy value for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas? Or see, you know, a guy that's going to come in there and not really be able to get the job done at quarterback.
I mean, if you watch this year, he can't be any worse than Peyton Manning was. By most measures, Peyton Manning was the worst quarterback in football this year. He can't throw. He can't hit an out because he doesn't have the arm strength. It pretty much in the playoffs at the end of the year, they asked him, you know, we're going to run the ball. Don't mess this up. So, considering the year they had this year, I don't see a drop-off with Osweiler. I mean, he's better. Right now, Brock Osweiler, from a pure throwing standpoint, is better than Peyton Manning. And he's going to get signed because they're not bringing back Peyton Manning. There's no way.
Even if he doesn't retire, Peyton Manning is going to be playing someplace else next season.
He'll be a Ram if he's in the league.
Wow.
But to be honest, I'm not sure that right now, I'm not sure Case Keenum isn't a better option than Peyton Manning.
Well, you know what? Let's take it all the way there, then. 2016, you're looking to pick up a quarterback. Peyton Manning and Robert Griffin III.
RG3.
Peyton
There's
Manning and Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy.
Oh, boy.
I think Colt McCoy, honestly, I've always liked Colt McCoy. I feel like he never really got a fair
shake. I'm a Colt McCoy fan.
I feel like he never got a fair shake in Cleveland or Washington. Last year, when it was him, Cousins, and RG3 rotating, Colt McCoy was the best quarterback of the three, but they wanted to see what they had in Cousins.
Now, with that being said, I do think that – I think it's going to be interesting. I think either Robert or Colt McCoy ends up as a backup quarterback in Dallas next year, in my opinion. I think Johnny Manziel, I think he's a player that nobody's going to put their hands on. So, but I do think those are the two backup quarterback options that would interest the Dallas Cowboys, who desperately need a backup quarterback if they don't take one in the draft. We'll get into the NFL draft talk in a little bit. I was talking about Teddy Bridgewater when you came on. I had Teddy Bridgewater at the top 15, top 12 fantasy quarterback going into 2015. Now, Minnesota Vikings had a healthy Adrian Peterson all season. They ran the football. Did Bridgewater regress in his sophomore year, or was it a situation where the Minnesota Vikings did not, in North Turner, did not let Teddy Bridgewater get control of the full playbook and really open it up?
I think it's a little bit of both. I also had Bridgewater right around 13, 14. I don't recall exactly where I had him. But he didn't – I mean, the offensive line wasn't great and didn't give him that much time. But the receivers as an excuse is not an excuse. There's teams with much worse receivers than he has. But when you watch him, when he throws more than like 15 yards downfield – he just wasn't good, even when he had the time. I also think they kind of kept the training wheels on him because, you know, why wouldn't you run Adrian Peterson if you have him? Especially when all the issues he had, he's getting older, you might as well just run him into the ground. He has nothing to lose.
At this point, yeah.
But
now let me ask you this. Moving on past the Bridgewater situation, because I do think listen, he's going to come in around quarterback 14, 15 this year. Could come as a steal, but, you know, we still got a full offseason to go through to see what happens through free agency and NFL draft and stuff like that. But let me tell you, a player who a lot of people were very high on last season at the quarterback position, had him as a lot of guys had him as top 10 going into 2015. I have never been a fan of Ryan Tannehill. Now you bring Adam Gase, the quarterback whisperer, into the situation. Listen, we've seen Gase do great work with Manning, who's a great. We saw him have a solid season with Cutler this year. Now you bring him up here with Ryan Tannehill. Now, we saw in the piece that you wrote where, you know, Greg Dennis made the comment that the guy is nowhere near elite, but it could be a thing of coaching. So now you have the guy in there. They've already given him his money, so he's going to be their quarterback. I think Ryan Tannehill's a bum. And if Adam Gase can get this guy turned around, I think it's a miracle.
See, I like Tannehill. I like him coming out. But the issue with him is he was only a quarterback for 1 year in college. He was a wide receiver. So he was always supposed to be a project. But in today's NFL, people don't have the patience for projects. You have to remember, after 3 years, the San Diego Chargers spent the first overall pick on Drew Brees. I know they drafted Manning and traded him, but because Brees was so bad through 3 years. And look at him now. People take time. A quarterback, I think every quarterback, if you believe in him, should get 4 or 5 years to really develop, especially a guy that doesn't have experience at the position. He has the athletic ability to run. You just can't ask him to do things he can't do. Stop bringing in Mike Wallace and Kenny Stills because the guy can't throw 40-yard bombs on every play. It's just not what he does. You need the Jarvis Landrys. You need the bigger guy, the bigger receivers like Devontae Parker, who I consider a A.J. Green type. And I think they should keep Rishard Matthews, if possible, and utilize him the way he should be used and let him do the read option. I think he could be successful if you use him properly. I don't think he's going to be elite. I don't think he's going to be Drew Brees or Luck or, you know, on that level. But I think you can win with him. I think you can win 11 games and make a playoff run. I definitely don't think he's a bum. Athletically, he has all the talent. He has the arm. He has the legs. I just think
but
they need
to. But does he have what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL? See what I'm saying? I don't see it. I don't think he has the intangibles of quarterbacking. There's been many times where we've seen him in good spots, and he's dropped duds.
I don't think it's a matter of intangibles. I think he's just not fully developed yet, and people don't want to be patient nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was always going to take 5 years or so to fully develop. And I think this is a huge year for him. This could be a make-or-break year. But either way, I would give him this year and next year.
Yeah.
And then if he doesn't work, then he doesn't work. If he's not good this year, I would draft the quarterback high next year and keep him on the bench for a year and
all
see
right.
what you
oh,
have.
Now,
give Daniel one more year.
Now, talk about a guy who was a player that came in and absolutely got it done. David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals. Now, you know, they came out and said that they were more or less very pleased with him. Top young running back. I've seen some early 2016 fantasy football drafts, and David Johnson has not gone drafted no lower than round 1, pick 9. And you know what? I have no problem with it. I have David Johnson locked in 2016 as one of the few running backs I would consider drafting in the first round. I'm not worried about the competition around him. They bring Chris Johnson back. That's just the older, slower Chris Johnson. And Andre Ellington if Andre Ellington plays more than 5 weeks in a row, to be a miracle.
In my opinion, there is no competition around him, really.
Yes.
Like you said, Chris Johnson was good last year. But I mean, he was out of the league before that. And he's, what, 32 now? I'm not 100% sure. But he's getting older, and he's speed-based. And, I mean, Johnson can do everything. If nothing, I mean, we got a small sample size of him this year. But there's nothing he can't do. He runs well. He can go inside, outside. He can break long ones. He's a great pass catcher. So all the upside is there, and I can completely understand why he would go in the first.
No doubt. I really think you're going to be hard-pressed to find someone that disagrees with David Johnson as a first-round draft pick in 2016. especially in PPR format. Go ahead.
He's a much bigger Andre Ellington. He's not quite as quick, but, you know, well, when you're bigger, you're not going to be quite as quick.
No doubt. Now, moving right along, another running back situation is the situation in Miami with Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is talented, but once again, the coaching in Miami in previous regimes have not gotten it done. Lamar Miller in a walk year, if he can get out of Miami and end up in a place like Dallas, you're talking about fantasy gold right there, all kind of production. Lamar Miller has the tools, the skill set, catch the football out of the backfield, goes for the goal line. Their ability hasn't really been an issue so far in his career, but the Miami Dolphins get this guy the football 13, 14 times a game.
Yeah, well, the Dolphins are actually the meeting with Drew Rosenhaus this weekend to see what they can get done with him. The issue in Miami is they don't have that much cap space, and they drafted Jay Ajayi, who was an absolute steal in the fifth round last year. So he's not a necessity, but he is tremendous. And if he goes somewhere else where they're willing to give him more than, like, 12 to 15 carries a game, he could easily lead the league in rushing. He's way better than – he should be the top free agent on the market this year, running back-wise. He's better than Doug Martin. Because of age, I would take him over Forte. There's no running back that deserves more money on the market this year, in my opinion. And I've been a fan of him since he was at Miami – with the Hurricanes. I followed him. I've been a big fan. He has the speed. He can go between the tackles. He's not great in the passing game. His numbers are decent, but a lot of his numbers, the Dolphins didn't use him right. They used him on the goal line a lot, where he's not great, but he has the touchdowns now. They used him in the passing game a lot, where I feel they should have been using Ajayi more in the passing game and on the goal line because he's better. But between the 20s, I think he can be an elite running back.
Now, I have a problem when it comes to myself in fantasy football. And I don't go a season without putting C.J. Spiller on one of my fantasy teams. And sometimes I've reached up the draft board to pick up C.J. Spiller. Sometimes I say, you know what, I can't let this guy fall any further. He's going to be my RB2. This is the year. Everything, all signs point to, you know, C.J. Spiller having one of the great campaigns like he had one time a few years ago. I cannot stop drafting C.J. Spiller on my fantasy football team. Now we're hearing out of New Orleans that the lack of production this past season could have very well came from C.J. being injured. Am I a fool if I continue to draft C.J. Spiller on my fantasy team?
I ranked C.J. Spiller 50th last year. End of the year. And I actually wrote an article for the Fantasy Fix called something along the line of questionable trends. Why are people drafting C.J. Spiller? And it's funny because people like him, and someone actually asked me the question, and I wrote about how he's a bad receiver. He can't block, he runs poor routes and has bad hands. And someone actually sent me the question, do you have any numbers to prove that he runs bad routes? And that's the problem with me. Personally, that's my problem with today's fantasy culture. Everyone wants to see stuff like, watch the guy play. He's not good. Even his big year, his one big year in Buffalo, watch all his big plays. It wasn't in the passing game. It wasn't PPR value. All his big plays were long runs he bounced outside. After years of ankle and knee and foot injuries, once he loses that home run speed, he has nothing left. And he wasn't that good to begin with. He's a glorified punt returner that had one good year, and people just don't get over it. He's not good. He's never going to be good. And that's why I ranked him either 50th or 51st last year. I had him 50th. I think I had DeMarco Murray 30th. And the only guy I really missed on was Jonathan Stewart. I had Jonathan Stewart outside of the top 30, and he came on, but I didn't expect him to stay healthy.
No, but of course not with all like you said, all the injuries he's had throughout his career. Not to mention the fact that the amount of he's had football, not only in the NFL, but also had a ton of carries back in his Oregon days. Also, speaking of a guy with a ton of carries and also has a ton of issues, what's the latest with Shady McCoy?
Shady McCoy, the latest I've heard is the DA is probably not going to put out a warrant because after further evaluation, it seems like they're not really saying much because it's a touchy situation, especially with today's culture and climate and everything going on. But it appears that they believe that the off-duty police officers were just as much at fault.
Really?
On top of that, they didn't call 911, which obviously you're supposed to, especially if you're a cop. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was believed to be, what they're saying, excessive alcohol consumption, which, you know, if you're a grown man at the club, you're allowed to drink excessively, I guess, but it's a bad look for the Philadelphia Police Department. So it looks like they're kind of trying to distance themselves from this and sweep it under the rug a little bit instead of getting this in the anymore
in the
public
major,
eye
mainstream media,
is.
Exactly, with a popular NFL athlete who was a star in New York City involved with the police. So looks like Shady McCoy will dodge one with that situation. But I don't think he may not dodge what he got in the backfield with him, though, because I would dare say in 2016, I would much rather have Carlos Williams on my fantasy team than I would LeSean McCoy.
If he can stay healthy, this year has to scare you with injuries. He was every time he had that opportunity, he seemed to get injured right away. And he was one of my top rookies this year. Pretty much every article I wrote about sleepers in the draft, Carlos Williams was my featured guy. I mean, he has the size. His size and speed is ridiculous. You just don't see that. And for some, I don't understand how he slipped in the draft so far. But he actually went higher than he was supposed to. But he's going to be tremendous if he can stay healthy. He's another guy that the new crop could, him, Jeremy Langford, Thomas Rawls, David Johnson, they all have the ability to be top running backs.
That's good to see because running back has become a position of dire straits for fantasy over, especially over the course of the last two seasons. I obviously see that with the current drafting trends, with the wide receivers jumping way up draft boards and running backs almost coming. Let me just find somebody that I can put in there. Hopefully they'll play 16 games.
You know, I've always been a big draft running backs early and often guy. And after last year, even I'm starting to push up the receivers and push back the running backs. And I've always been draft a running back in the first round, almost regardless of the situation.
Now,
and I'm starting to question that too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you have to the production the wide receivers are putting up, especially in PPR leagues. The way the NFL now with quarterbacks throwing the football 35, 40, 45, even 50 times a game. Not to mention the pounding the running back takes, so less risk for injury. So those big-time stud wide receivers are definitely the way to go. A guy who's not a stud wide receiver, but it looks like he'll be remaining in Washington, I thought he was a dead duck. Let me tell you something. DeSean Jackson tore his hamstring in week one. Dez Bryant broke his foot in week one. Dez Bryant was back on the field before DeSean Jackson. Now, Washington goes on a nice run to end the season. We see a nice chemistry begin to develop between Kirk Cousins and DeSean Jackson. I thought he was toast. I thought he was good as going to Washington and make way for my guy, Jamison Crowder. But it looks like DeSean Jackson is going to remain in Washington.
I love Crowder too, actually. But as of week 9, all reports were he's done and they came on strong and they made the playoffs. But they're going to keep Jackson. They're going to give Cousins a lot of money and the issue with Washington is I think it's all fool's gold. You watch them, and they didn't win on the road. And they didn't beat one team
over
that was above 500, right? And the Bills were the only team that were 8-8, there might have been one other in there. But I don't – I mean, Jackson from a fantasy perspective has his – any given week has as much upside as anyone in the league, especially in standard league, because he can easily catch 270-yard touchdown passes on two drives in any given time because he just has that kind of rare speed. But if I was them, I would probably – move on from him, especially at his current contract.
Move on because when the wheels fall off again, see, it looks good now because they finished strong, even though the team wasn't that good. You like that. We saw the emergence of Kirk Cousins. But the bottom line of the matter is, when things get tough next season, that guy's going to quit on them. And Jameson Crowder is a wide receiver, a young and upcoming wide receiver. He has, when you look at the route running skills, the kind of knack he has for the football, he's a tremendous He can be a tremendous NFL possession wide receiver. He's a chain mover. We saw that trick from him. I think Jameson Crowder is a guy that maybe not this year a wide receiver two for fantasy, but at least a wide receiver three and a borderline wide receiver two if things fall shake his way with Pierre Garçon, Deshaun Jackson, and injury situation. But obviously Jordan Reed is the guy that's going to be the mainstay in that passing game.
Jordan Reed is probably going to get hurt. Let's be honest. He stayed healthy somewhat this year.
He did a good job of staying healthy this year. He did.
Yeah, but he did. He missed what? I think he missed three games. But he is a concussion away from his career being over. I think he's on his eighth concussion now, counting back all the way back to Florida. But see, I view Jameson Crowder as more than a possession receiver. I loved him coming out. And he fell because he ran a slow 40. But if you watch him at Duke, he doesn't play slow. Him and Rashad Green kind of fell into the same too small, not fast enough at the combine. But when you watch those guys, they're tremendous. But the one thing I'll say about Deshaun Jackson is if you hold on to him, you may be able to get more value at the trade deadline from a desperate team. Like, say a guy like Rex Ryan is a game behind the Patriots trying to make a playoff run. They may give up a first-round pick for Jackson.
You're not going to get that now. That caliber of trade inside the NFL season is almost unheard of.
It happens, though. You see teams that are desperate to make that last move, especially with skill position players. Like, we've seen guys, running backs, Trent Richardson got moved for a first a few years back. It's rare, but I think there's a better chance. I'm not saying it would happen, but I think there's a better chance of it happening before the deadline than now.
Understood 100% what you're saying right there. Quickly, tell me about what's the deal? What's the latest? What are you hearing about Josh Gordon?
I mean, I haven't heard much about him. He's expected to be reinstated. The Browns are expected to keep him. It's looking now like Travis Benjamin is going to hit the open market. They were trying to get a deal done, but it's looking Falcons and Chargers are reportedly interested. And, I mean, if you're Travis Benjamin, I don't care what the money is. I'm getting out of Cleveland. There's nowhere, if I'm a player, I want to be less than Cleveland.
No doubt. And I do think he's a player that needs to find a new home. Coming off a season where he was very good this year for fantasy purposes, he gets in the right situation. Travis Benjamin could be a player that's undervalued going into 2016. Tell me about the 49ers wide receiver. They tend to like the DeAndre Smelter.
Smelter was another guy I listed as – I had him as a big dynasty sleeper last year. He was great in college. He just tore his ACL at the worst possible time. He tore it, I believe, in December before the either early December or late November before the season was over. But he was a guy from Georgia Tech, I believe, where another thing where those players don't show off exactly what they are. So sometimes, Calvin Johnson was a freak, so I'm not going to count him. But sometimes with a team like that, you can end up with a guy like, I think, DeAndre Smelter, who I think is going to be very good. Or you can end up with a guy like Stephen Hill, who the Jets drafted a few years back, and he was just terrible. They have smaller sample sizes, but Smelter was good. And I think I like him. I think he's going to be very good. I think he was one of the better receivers in last year's draft. I think he would have been maybe a top five receiver if he was healthy.
Now, moving along, I want to talk, this is a hypothetical right here. Who has more receptions as a New York Giant in 2016? Will Ty or Mohamed Sanu? I'm not going to put Victor Cruz in that, because I don't think Victor Cruz – I think Victor Cruz is done.
I think – I never thought Victor Cruz was going to play this year, and he didn't. But Cruz, that injury you don't come back from. Jimmy Graham has it now. It just – it doesn't work. But is Larry Donnell back in this hypothetical?
Yeah, let's say Larry Donnell is back.
Then Mohamed Sanu. If Ty is the top guy, then I would say Ty. Because, you know, Manning loves his tight ends, but he also targets them more in the red zone than he does, you know, moving up and down the field. So I would say Sanu. It's tough because you got Reuben Randall there.
I think Reuben Randall's done.
Maybe,
I think Reuben Randall hit the market.
There.
I think Randall and Sanu hit the market. I think the Giants upgrade to Sanu.
It's hard to say right now, not knowing the full roster and the depth chart. But I would say Sanu if Donnell is back.
And Ty, if you don't have Larry, he's no longer on the team. How about this Mickey Loomis down in New Orleans saying that Brandon Coleman can be the heir apparent to Mark Wilson? Brandon Coleman was a name that caught a lot of attention down the season. As we were going into late August, people started drafting Brandon Coleman. Didn't really work out. Did have one or two games where he was fantasy relevant, but could he be coming into a fantasy relevant 2016? He's a PG County kid. That's what's up, too.
I mean, physically, he's built the same. I think that's where the comparisons come. He's a big guy, you know. But I mean, I don't really like the Saints' passing game outside of Cooks. It may be maybe Watson. They're going to a more run-heavy attack. Drew Brees is another year older. The offensive line isn't great. Colston is still there.
I'm
assuming he's still going to be there. He talked about I believe he mentioned retiring, but I think he's still going to be there. So I feel like if Coleman is going to be the guy, I don't think it's going to be this year. And I don't know how much you want to invest in him in Dynasty Leagues. I mean, you can grab him later,
Let me ask you about, finally, before we talk a little NFL draft, and I know we're just getting short on time, we'll talk some combine. Where do you expect Marty B at next year, Martellus Bennett?
Pittsburgh. I think
that's
he's going to land in Pittsburgh. I think
that's
he's going to replace Keith Miller in Pittsburgh if they can surprisingly, they have cap money. They have a lot of cap money, pretty much because their defense is so young. And they got Antonio Brown right before they had to pay him. Bell still isn't getting paid. Ben Roethlisberger, who I personally think is the third best quarterback in the league, has a reasonable contract, all things considered. So I think he lands in Pittsburgh. That's just me speculating. I don't have any inside information, but I think that would be the best fit for him, and it just makes sense.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left to go in the program. I want to talk with some combine stuff with you right quick. Let me ask you, first of all, you had him in your latest mock draft. You got him going at 6 overall to the Baltimore Ravens. Laquon Treadwell, what's the deal with him? Ole Miss wide receiver.
I mean, he's pretty much the clear-cut top receiver in this draft. In Baltimore, I mean, you can't just keep going with Steve Smith. What is he, 36 now?
Yeah.
He's 36, coming off a blown Achilles with Kamar Aiken and Marlon Brown and, I don't know, a few other tiny white receivers. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think you can. I think they have to go receiver, which they'll probably go linebacker because that's what they do.
Because that's what they do, correct.
Them and the Steelers will both draft linebackers no matter what they need. But I think he's the best receiver available, and I'm pretty sure I would be shocked if any receiver goes ahead of him unless, you know, someone goes crazy and, like, takes Braxton Miller on the upside, like a crazy person, like we saw with Ted Ginn a while back,
yeah,
and Darius Hayward Bay and players like that.
Yeah.
What about the quarterback situation? Which quarterbacks should we be looking at this year or this weekend in the combine that could have some fantasy value next year?
I don't like any of the quarterbacks to make an immediate impact. I think Paxton Lynch from Memphis is the best quarterback in the draft. But all signs point to the Browns taking Goff, which I actually have Lynch going to him because I think after the combine, Lynch will be the top quarterback. We'll see. But it's looking like Goff may go first, but I think Lynch is better. I think Connor Cooks is one of those guys that he's not going to wow you, but when he gets on the football field, I think he can be really good. I think he'd be a perfect fit with Bill O'Brien in Houston. O'Brien also loves Michigan State players. He's his kind of quarterback. I could see him fitting in there.
Let's talk about a couple of the big names from Ohio State, Braxton Miller and Ezekiel Elliott. Well, I tell you what, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I was like, man, we can get our hands on this guy. We'd be good to go. But Cowboys need to focus on the defensive side of the football. Give me some thoughts on Braxton Miller and Ezekiel Elliott, Youngstown boys.
I tend to not like players like Braxton Miller, those kind of like, you know, OW players, offensive weapons that aren't really great receivers. Guys like him, Tavon Austin. I never liked those players. I think Miller is a little bit better than those guys, though. There's something about him when you watch him. He seems to pop more on offense, not in the return game. Like, Patterson is the best kick returner in the league, probably. And Tavon Austin has stepped up this last year a little bit as like a runner slash pass catcher. I like Miller better than those guys. I think he's going to go higher than he should, though. I think he's going to go around the top 20. I think he's going to jump up higher than he should. I love him as a mid-second round pick. Same thing with Ezekiel Elliott. He's very good, but I don't see him on like Todd Gurley's level. And if you're not on that level, I don't think you should go in the first round, really.
Yep, I agree.
I think next year's running backs are much better than this year's. I think Dalvin Cook, if they don't give it to a quarterback, is going to win the Heisman next year. I think he's better than I think he's going to be the best running back in the country. I thought he may have been this year, not necessarily numbers-wise, but film-wise. And he's translates to the NFL better than guys like Henry or, you know, the bigger backs.
Got about a minute left to go in the program, Mark. I want to thank you definitely for hanging out. Definitely have you back on. We'll do it again as we go through the NFL offseason. For fantasy owners specifically, give us a couple names to watch, skill position players this weekend in the combine quickly.
I mean, all the skill position players are pretty much, I mean, they're all out there. They're clear. But the one guy I want to talk about, it's not fantasy, I'm going off topic. Watch Artie Burns, the cornerback from Miami at the combine. He's going to jump up, and by the end of this week, he's going to be a late first-round pick, high second-round pick. And he's going to be up there with the top corners. That's the one guy I want to talk about. Artie Burns, Miami Hurricane corner. He's a track star. He has led the ACC in interceptions. He's excellent in coverage. He's physical.
All right. Well,
watch him at the combine.
We'll definitely make sure we'll keep an eye out for that name, Marty Burns. Of course, Scout Fantasy for all your fantasy football and DFS needs.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.